You can always subscribe, miss any of the program, iTunes, Spotify, streaming live on Facebook, sponsored by American Transmissions, and that video audio stream also at KSGF.com. Author of the Week, sponsored by wonderful folks at ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. Our author today, Byron York. He is chief political correspondent, Washington Examiner. I know a lot of you have seen him as a Fox News contributor. And his book is Obsession, Inside Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. And then we'll just kick this off. Politics is politics. And, of course, you've been covering several administrations. You've covered elections for the past 20 years. And while I think Republicans, at least in modern history, have long felt the obsessive nature of sorts of the media going after Republicans and a double standard, it just seems that under Trump, it's skyrocketed. This obsession, which of course the title of the book, is so much more. I mean, it's just crazed. Does it just seem that way, or has this occurred? And what is it? What has made them? Some of these people have been in Washington for decades. Joe Biden's one of them, of course, almost five decades. And so while we see the Ocasio-Cortezes and we're like, well, okay, so young people are nuts. But it seems to have bled into some of the old Washington even. What is going on?
Well, first, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Go back to December of 2019, not even a year ago. House Democrats were racing. They were rushing to impeach President Trump by Christmas. A reporter asks Nancy Pelosi, what's the hurry? Why are you in such a rush here? And she said, there is no rush. This has been going on 2.5 years since Mueller. And a lot of Republicans said, wow, she finally admitted it. This impeachment we're talking about, it's not about Ukraine. It's not about a phone call. It is a continuation of the long effort to remove Trump from office. And that is what the book is about. And what is striking is that this effort included basically a sort of a joint effort between a special counsel's office, that would be Robert Mueller, and Democrats in Congress, mostly in the House of Representatives, especially after they took power. They worked sort of hand in hand to bring us what they hoped would be an impeachment based on the Mueller report, and then ended up being an impeachment based on Ukraine, all of which proved they really wanted to get the president, no matter the reason.
Well, I want to ask you about the impeachment. I'm going to jump ahead here just a bit. I, for the longest time, as impeachment, as you mentioned, it talked about for a very long time, as it got into 2020, I argued that Nancy Pelosi will not do it because you, at that time, had a number of U.S. senators running for the presidency, and surely they would be calculating enough to recognize that some of those purple states or some of these states that they need to win, that voting to convict for impeachment would alienate a lot of Americans, and they didn't want to be put in that position, and so they wouldn't even want to have the trial. And so I felt that it was just something they always wanted to keep out there, that Nancy Pelosi would never create that corner that they boxed themselves into. But then, of course, yeah, it did happen. What occurred there?
Well, there was always support among the core Democrats in the House for impeachment. In December 2017, remember, this is Trump's first year in office, Republicans hold the House. A single member, Al Green, representative Democrat from Texas, forces a vote on impeachment. Al Green wanted to impeach the president for insulting Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. And so they have a vote on to move forward articles of impeachment. And 58 Democrats at that point vote to impeach the president for dividing the country. So there was this core that was very anxious to impeach the president no matter what. One of the scenes I describe in the book is before Trump even takes office on January 6th of 2017, 2 weeks before Inauguration Day, they have a ceremony to certify the results of the Electoral College, and it's a done deal at that point. This is all ceremonial. And Democrats try to disrupt it. They try to stop the certification of the electoral results from some states on the basis that Russia got Trump elected. So Republicans had no idea. They were totally in the dark about how angry their Democratic colleagues were. And a lot of them told me that that day in the at the Electoral College event really made them think, wow, you know, they don't seem to be reconciling themselves to the fact that Donald Trump has won. And then what happened is, as time went on, and especially after Democrats won the majority in 2018, that core group of people who wanted impeachment among the Democratic conference just grew and grew and grew. And it got to be over 100, 115, and then finally in September of 2019 with impeachment, it got to be a majority. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's the leader of the Democrats, but if a majority of them, a strong majority of them, wants to do something, she cannot very much well tell them no.
We're talking with our author of the week, Byron York. The book is Obsession, Inside Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. You know, there are so many different links in the chain of events that have gotten us from even pre-inauguration to today. Sometimes we forget about him, and unless Comey pops up his head for a lot of people, he seems like a distant memory. But, of course, at one point he was essentially a nemesis to President Donald Trump. And you write about how, you know, in the very beginning, Trump, he was encouraged by top advisors, get rid of that guy, and he actually yeah. resisted.
He did, and it was in, this was in the transition. A number of people close to Trump strongly urged him to fire Comey on Inauguration Day, to tell Comey that his services would no longer be required after January 20th, 2017. And Rudy Giuliani told me, said, I told Trump, Comey is going to turn on you. There is something weird about him. And Chris Christie said, I told the president that Comey is a loose cannon, and if you keep him after you're president, he will be your loose cannon. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things they looked at was Comey's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, which they thought showed him to be erratic, self-righteous, unpredictable, and extremely difficult. Now, they were not offended on behalf of Hillary Clinton. They were not defensive that James Comey had been mean to Hillary Clinton. But what they thought it showed was that Comey was erratic and unpredictable and would cause trouble for Trump if he were kept in office. So they were right. I mean, they were obviously right. The question is, why did Trump not follow their advice? And the answer is, he thought he could win Comey over. Trump, for all of his life, has felt that he can bring people around to his side. He can win them over by the force of his personality. And so he immediately begins trying to work on Comey to win him over. I think we can all agree that was not a success.
Talking about, as we transition here, talk with our author of the week, Byron York, the Mueller investigation. And you know, the media is very successful in rewriting history. And they have done a good job, I think, of convincing a lot of Americans that, you know, Trump really stonewalled and you know, was trying to block information from being provided, when in fact, and this is part of your book, I don't know that there's ever been a president that has so openly said, here, give him anything he wants, whatever they want, whatever the investigators want, just cooperate fully with it.
People did not know this at the time, was not reported, but Trump was stunned when Mueller was appointed. He was totally blindsided by it. And but, you know, once he got used to the idea, he realized, I'm going to have to deal with this special counsel. And his top priority, Trump's top priority, was getting the investigation over quickly. He thought it could be done quickly. They were going to search for collusion. They weren't going to find it, and then they were going to close down. So very early on, just weeks after Mueller is appointed, Trump authorizes his lawyers to go to Mueller, and they make this proposal. They say, look, I, President Trump, want this investigation over very, very quickly. Now, you, Special Counsel Mueller, are going to want a lot of evidence from me, interviewing people in the White House around me, thousands and hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, a lot of which would be covered by executive privilege. Now, I'm the president. I could object. We could fight about it. We could go to court. It could take years. But here's my proposal. I'll give you everything you want, everything. You talk to anybody you want to, as long as you want to, give you all the documents, if, in return, you promise to get this investigation over quickly. And they shake hands. Mueller and John Dowd, who is Trump's top lawyer, shake hands on the deal. It was never written down. Nobody ever signed anything. But they shake hands on the deal. And Trump keeps his end of the bargain. You know, his White House counsel, Don McGahn, was interviewed for 30 hours by Mueller's investigators. And, you know, you can't talk to anybody from any White House who would say, oh, wow, it's perfectly normal for a president to allow a prosecutor to interview his White House counsel for 30 hours. I mean, that was absolutely unprecedented. Trump practiced what you might call radical cooperation, and nobody really knew about it in the public at the time.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Byron York. We're talking about obsession inside Washington establishments, never-ending war on Trump. Just a couple of other questions, and I don't know why. Sometimes it's the little things I find very fascinating. And while publicly Mueller, he testifies, everyone pretty much agrees that did not go the way the Democrats wanted. There was a lot of talk that he appeared as if he maybe wasn't even all aware of what was going on. And you write about how there was, prior to that, this meeting in which he was involved, and the Trump people recognized something's not right here with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, when he testified, you know, everybody in the world was watching, July 24th, 2019, and they're stunned. He doesn't appear, he appears confused, he has trouble handling the most basic questions, making complex sentences. And people who knew Robert Mueller 15, 20 years earlier remembered him as a super sharp guy on top of everything, a micromanager. So this was, there had been some terrible change. And what I report in the book is this was not a surprise to the Trump team. More than a year earlier, they had had a meeting. Rudy Giuliani had just joined the team. It was kind of a get-acquainted meeting. And the conversation turned to several legal issues, one of which was the well-known Justice Department policy that a sitting president cannot be indicted. Mm. Now, this was not an obscure thing, an arcane thing. This was something that everybody knew about, and it was played a critical role in the whole Trump investigation and the Mueller investigation. And Mueller couldn't remember it. He couldn't recall that Justice Department policy. Mm. Now, the old Robert Mueller would have known all about it, but the Trump people were absolutely stunned that he couldn't recall it, and his staff stepped in to cover for him, as they often did, said, oh, yeah, they know all about it, they'll get back to you. But afterwards, the Trump people knew something was up.
And, so who is running the show then?
Well, the reason that's important, the reason what everybody learned when Mueller finally testified, the reason it was important is, remember when Mueller was first hired, he hired a lot of partisan Democrats, people who'd given a lot of money to Democratic candidates as his prosecutors. And Trump protested, said, well, what are you doing? This is not fair. And Mueller's defender said, look, Robert Mueller is straight down the middle. He is scrupulously fair. He will keep these prosecutors in line, and he will be in charge. And when they see the Mueller behind the scenes, they think, wait a minute, maybe he's not in charge. Who actually is in charge? And I have to say, they never really found the answer to that question.
Mm. Final question, and I know I've kept you a little longer than we had scheduled, and I appreciate it, as we talk with Byron York, our author of the week here, is, you know, all that happens, and it just seems so much build up, and then they impeach him over Ukraine. And this is something you write about that didn't even seem to be on the radar for Trump's lawyers or Republicans, yet that's what they ended up running with.
I know. It's life happens. And what had happened was Mueller, after all this time, Mueller's report, he hands it over. It comes out in April of 2019. And Mueller's big assignment was to find collusion, and he admits that he cannot establish that collusion ever took place, much less who might have taken part in it. And Republicans say, well, that's it. He failed. He didn't find it. There's no collusion. And Democrats said, well, no, he proved that there was a lot of obstruction going on, although Mueller did not conclude that. Well, what happened was a lot of Republicans let down their guard after that, and especially after that hearing we were just talking about when Mueller performed so poorly. They say, well, finally, this long Russia ordeal is over. And they don't exactly disband, but they do begin to relax. Both the Trump defense team and Republicans on Capitol Hill. And little do they know, but at that very moment, and we're talking August of 2019, last year, Adam Schiff and Democrats are working on something new. And in early September, Republicans get a clue. They hear there's a whistleblower of some sort. They think it's going to be about Russia. They think that the Democrats are going to go back to the Russia well because that's all they've done for the past couple of years. They figure Schiff has come up with some sort of thing about Russia, and they'll knock that down too. And then they learn it involves Ukraine and some whistleblower and the president's phone call, and they all have to just gear up, you know, go from zero to 60, gear up and get ready to fight yet again.
Well, I definitely appreciate your time this morning. We are talking with our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Byron York, The Obsession Inside Washington Establishment's Never-Ending War on Trump. And, you know, oftentimes people want to describe books like this as, you know, thriller-like and a real page-turner, but this one definitely is. I mean, it's one of those that you really can't put down, which double-edged sword on one hand is very intriguing, gives you so much insight and information regarding stuff we didn't know before, but it can be depressing for some folks. But thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Appreciate the book.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely my pleasure again, and a thank you to ABC Books on North Glenstone. Going to get a quick break. We'll hit traffic. Also, Don Luzader with the news. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1.